Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Shahzad Haque, and now it's time for Powering Your Property, where we bring you the latest in property sector news and trends.
Yes, Singapore's property market, of course, saw a buoyant year in 2021. Prices reaching new highs, sales hitting their highest in years. Almost seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
That's right. But the sudden rollout of cooling measures last month has changed the industry's previously sanguine outlook for the year.
So while the fallout of the measures will loom large over the property market, we're going to talk to Wong Siu Ying, Head of Research and Content at Procnex Realty, to join us here on the line and share the outlook for 2022.
Siu Ying, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Shahzad. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back with us.
Happy New Year.
And it is a happy new year for sellers anyway in the property market. They had a great year last year. We saw public and private housing markets prices reaching new peaks, annual sales hitting new highs, or the highest in several years, rather. On the back of that, Siu Ying, is this sustainable? What is the overall outlook for the year ahead?
Well, earlier you mentioned that, you know, the private and public housing markets, you know, things were quite buoyant last year. And buoyant is absolutely spot on. You know, private housing and HDB resale markets did superbly in 2021, right? And numbers do reflect that. You know, the flash estimates out of, on Monday showed that the private home prices rose by 10.6% last year and HDB resale values grew by 4.5%, right, in 2021. So as you pointed out, multi-year high. And if you look at these, you know, price increase, they've outpaced economic growth last year, right? Which was at 7.2% based on the advanced GDP estimate. So you're right. In hindsight, the government's move to roll out the new cooling measures last month was, we think, a timely one to prevent overheating. Therefore, I think this year we're expecting things to sort of lose some steam this year. So in terms of private home prices, I think we're now looking at 3 to 5% growth, keeping pace with the economic growth forecast this year. But, you know, I think that's it. We're not expecting prices to collapse or anything like that because, you know, we although sentiment is kind of dampened due to the cooling measures, potentially weaker investment demand and, you know, foreign buying interest, we're still looking at, you know, generally still decent demand coming through from local buyers, you know, Singaporean upgraders, for instance. Same story, I think, for HDB resale side, right? We're still looking at a 6 to 8% price growth in 2022 on the back of that stable demand pool, again, from upgraders, from first-time home buyers. Obviously, the caveat here is that, you know, we're living, you know, with the pandemic. So if we see another variant that's highly infectious, or more dangerous, leading to major disruptions in, say, business, travel, work, then obviously sales and prices will face more pressure. But generally, I think our overall outlook this year is still for a little bit more positive price growth, though at a slower pace compared to last year.
So, Siu Ying, you know, you mentioned there the cooling measures that have been put in place. We delve a little bit deeper now. Let's look at the private residential market. What trends should we look out for there? Perhaps the impact of those cooling measures. Are we looking at collective sales? Are they kind of come back into trend again, or will that be on hold for a bit?
Well, I think collective sale, well, obviously, developers will take some time to reassess their plan. They would definitely be more cautious in terms of, you know, land acquisition. But looking at the collective sale market, we think there's still some bright spots, right? So if you're looking at the OCR, so outside, you know, central region, the more mass market segment, we think those areas are still going to be quite positive, essentially because supply is quite limited in the OCR. So for, you know, developments that are looking to go en bloc, I think if they're well located, so walkable to MRT stations, for example, if they're reasonably priced, developers should still get, you know, a look in into those projects. If you're looking at housing segments, we think the cross-central region will face a little bit more pressure because they tend to be a bit more reliant on the investors and foreign buyers.
We're speaking with Wong Tsu-ying, Head of Research and Content at PropNex Realty. Tsu-ying, but that said, though, so looking at supply into the market, you've mentioned where you're expecting prices to trend in line with GDP growth or the GDP forecast, but we've also got limited supply to the market. So where do you see the most movement? Private homes, new launches?
So we can look at new launches. I think looking at 2022, we are certainly looking at fewer units to be launched compared to last year. So for 2022, we are anticipating at least 33 new launches, including ECs, that could come on the market. So that should offer an estimated 8,000 plus residential units, slightly lower than last year's numbers from an estimated 27 new launches. But, I think a lot of stock, 41% for 2022, will be from the OCR region for new launches. So there are certainly pickings for home buyers who are looking at mass market homes. You talked about outlook earlier. I think this year, new home sales, we're expecting it to be a bit slower compared to the 13,000 plus that we saw in 2021. So we're expecting 9,000 to maybe 10,000 units. Not just on the back of fewer units to be launched, but also if you look at new home sales in the past years, a lot of mega projects with more than 1,000 units in the development, those have helped to prop up the transaction numbers, right? But a lot of the supply in these mega developments, like Treasure at Tampines, Park Clematis, the Florence Residences, they've been progressively sold down over the last couple of years. And if you look at Normanton Park, for example, which is launched last year, that's like 80% sold. So all that will come to play, and we're expecting new home sales to be a little bit less buoyant compared to last year.
So last year, the leasing market was pretty buoyant, as we mentioned already. In terms of volume of leasing transactions, as well as rental value, what can we expect for growth with regards to rental demand?
Well, that's right. The private residential leasing market has, actually been recovering steadily in recent quarters, right? So if you look at URA rental index, say, in Q3 2021, that's at its highest since the first quarter of 2015. So you're looking at highs in about 6 years. And essentially, that's really supported by sustained leasing demand, right? So from people having to rent due to delays in completion of their new homes, people looking at a more spacious living environment due to, maybe work-from-home arrangements, Singaporeans returning from overseas, for example. So that's kind of like the demand picture. But, on the supply side, then, the availability of units is quite tight. Some owners are looking at collective sale, so they may not want to lease out the units. Some people may think about selling because, of the rise in prices. So that's sort of like kept demand fairly tight. Supply fairly tight. So, this has given landlords some room to raise rents last year. We are still expecting, a positive view of the leasing, demand this year based on continued economic recovery. I think, if you're looking at further reopening of borders, that could sort of drive a little bit more positive sentiment, in terms of tourism-related sectors, for example. So still quite positive from the leasing perspective.
So just on that, so if someone was a tenant now in a condo, for example, and looking now to renegotiate for the new lease, they're not going to really have good news here in terms of trying to keep it at the same amount or going a little bit lower, are they? In basic real terms, they're going to have to accept that rents are going to go up.
Well, I think rents will definitely remain firm. I think if you look at the number of leasing contracts for private homes, they've been very resilient, right? So.
Yeah.
I think the first 11 months of last year, we're looking at 96,000 leasing transactions in 11 months, already surpassing the 92,000 plus done in the whole of 2020. And this year, we're still expecting that sort of firm demand to sort of, be sustained. So chances are they probably would have to look at, looking at the current level or potentially forking out more, depending on the demand situation for that lease.
Tsu-ying, just very quickly, while we've got you on the line, we've spoken quite a bit about the private market. Just curious for your forecast when it comes to the public market, HDB resale prices, where do you see those going in the year ahead?
Well, the resale prices, HDB resale prices, they've recovered, substantially, mm-hmm. right, over the last 2.5 years, and transaction volumes have been very, very strong indeed. So while I think the HDB resale market, it's not completely immune from the effects of the cooling measures, but we think it's going to remain fairly robust in 2022. So we know why, because a lot of the demand drivers that sort of pushed sales along in the last year or so, they are likely to persist this year, right? So, for example, construction delays, long completion timeline for new homes. So those people with more urgent housing needs, they will turn to resale units. You have the, you know, generous housing grants of up to $160,000 for first-time buyers. So that's very attractive. And then if you look at the private home side, you know, the OCR private home prices are still quite firm. Supply of OCR homes, that's tight. And so some people may just turn to HDB resale. In addition, you're looking at the tighter TDSR threshold of 55%. That could in turn then restrict housing budget, right? So some people may now start to target HDB resale instead of private homes, which are more expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think we would like to also point out that this year, we're expecting a bumper crop of HDB flats to sort of exit the five-year minimum occupation period. We're looking at, say, 31,000 units. That's quite a lot. And, you know, it includes places like Bukit Merah, Kingstown, Toa Payoh, Ang Mo Kio, very popular areas. So some of these owners may be looking to sort of sell.
So you're looking at a bumper crop of upgraders as well then in your head.
Yeah, exactly. So if they're looking to sell, this could stimulate demand. So you know, which is why we feel that the HDB resale sector, we're still fairly optimistic and positive about it. So, you know, looking at 2022, we're still looking at, say, 30,000 resale transactions, sort of on par with what we saw last year, essentially underpinned by Singaporean first-timers and also, you know, upgraders or just people looking to buy bigger homes.
Okay. Well, Siew-Ing, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today and share all those insights on where Singapore's property market is headed in the year ahead.
Thank you. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Shoshan.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Wong Siew-Ing, Head of Research and Content at PropNex Realty. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.